This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:48 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Chuang, Xiaoning and myself, Shazana. Now, we've been discussing the situation in Ukraine all morning. Earlier on the breakfast grill, we heard from the ambassador of Ukraine to Malaysia, His Excellency Oleksandr Nechitelo. And that was followed by a conversation with Ambassador of the Russian Federation, His Excellency Nel Latipov. So we've heard the different perspectives of two sides of the conflict. Now we're turning our attention to the third element in any situation, which is that of the international community, particularly that of the major powers involved. So on the line with us now is Ambassador of the European Union to Malaysia, His Excellency Michalis Rokes. We want to ask the EU's response to the crisis. Ambassador Rokes, thank you very much for speaking to us today. Can we get the EU's stance on the invasion of Ukraine by Russia? Because it was previously reported that members of the EU were divided on the approach to take. What is the situation now?
Thank you for this invitation. I listened to the debate previously, and I'm a little bit in disbelief hearing to what the Russian Federation ambassador said, because I couldn't see a single truth in this statement, and a lot of false claims. But that said, what we are witnessing now is an outrageous and, I would say, immoral attack on Ukrainian people. And a proud nation, an independent nation, member of the UN, in blatant violation of international law and the UN Charter. And what we do in the EU, of course, we condemn in the strongest possible terms Russia's unprecedented military aggression against Ukraine. It is totally unprovoked and unjustified. And in the European Union, we stand firmly, steadfastly, resolutely united with Ukraine.
Your Excellency, one of the pushbacks that the Russian ambassador said was the fact that he was citing the 1997 Minsk agreements, of which the oft-quoted refrain was that NATO will not move one inch eastwards, but it has. And you can see the 14 countries, including the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Croatia, that have signed up to NATO in that time span. On that shred of factual evidence, is Russia justified in pushing back towards those borders?
Absolutely not. We are talking about sovereign nations' decisions here, the will of people, of democratic people. And let's not forget where perhaps would stand some of the European Union members that are now members of NATO, should they have not joined NATO. So I think that this is a very, very, very serious matter. And let's not forget that all these agreements, they were back, they date already back from 1994. And Russia is violating its own signatures and the world order, the UN Charter, in a blatant manner.
Your Excellency, Ambassador Latipov has said a few minutes ago that Russia would agree to returning to the table of diplomacy and talking it through at a diplomatic front. What would ensure, what would trigger peace between the Russians and the Ukrainians at this point in time, from your standpoint?
Well, talking about diplomacy, I think the European Union and many of its heads of state and the leaders and foreign ministers, they have been, there was a shuttle to Moscow and other European countries to try, even in the penultimate moment, to find a diplomatic solution. But now we are facing the new reality, a massive and unprecedented attack. It's very difficult to talk about diplomacy when Kiev is literally under fire, when the Russian army is attacking in all fronts. There are already civilian losses. It is massive. So, of course, in the DNA of the European Union is diplomacy and talks. But all efforts, systematic, true efforts from European Union leaders have been rejected by Kremlin. That's why the attack, and let's not forget that up to very recently, Russia, in all claims, in all social media, said that there was not any attack in the paper. And we see what is happening today.
So, Your Excellency, you've mentioned at the very beginning of this conversation that you're supporting Ukrainians, but I want to know what kind of practical support are you offering? Does it even extend to military then?
As we speak now, there is an extraordinary summit, an urgent summit of EU leaders, heads of state and governments, still ongoing in Brussels, to decide first on another string of massive sanctions against the Russian Federation. But also, there was a direct link, a discussion with the Ukrainian president. All what the Ukrainian president said, we will try to accommodate. We are also working very, very hard to give urgent assistance to Ukraine in this dire situation. We would support also evacuation operations, humanitarian operations, equipment needs, and this is where we stand at this moment. Let's not forget that as we speak, the European leaders are deliberating still.
Ambassador, can I ask, there have been talks about sanctions on Russia, and sanctions have been imposed for quite some time, since 2014. At the same time, though, I wonder if the EU isn't hampered by its economic reliance on Russia, because there's no doubt that sanctions on Russia, it's going to bite on EU member countries as well.
Sanctions as a tool is a tool of deterrence, and it is a tool also of diplomacy. We apply it when it has to be applied, and we hope that diplomacy wins in the meantime. But we have seen all our efforts have been unheard. There was not a single gesture from the Russian Federation towards this end. So now, not only we are obliged, and we know, and we are ready for all the consequences, including that they may have on the European countries and economies. Of course, sanctions, they will bite two ways. But please don't have any doubt that the sanctions that we are going to apply, they are going to be severe, unprecedented, and they will aim to harm the financial, transport, high-tech, and ability even to conduct war of the Russian Federation. There is no other option. We have tried very hard with diplomacy, so now we are resolutely going to go ahead with a harsher package on top of the one that we decided a few days ago that includes individual sanctions, for example, on the 351 members of the Russian Duma who voted in favor of the appeal asking President Putin to recognize the independence of Donetsk and Luhansk, and other restrictions. So this will be on top.
Your Excellency, you mentioned that you already, you know, you tried diplomatic efforts. Now you're looking at sanctions, and that might not work. So how will this issue ever be resolved then? Or is there going to be an escalation of violence perhaps?
Well, our work is exactly to avoid that. When the sanctions will not have an impact on day one, but they will have a very immediate impact. So we know that we have the tools. They exist. It is the trilateral contact group. It is the Normandy format. It is the Minsk agreement that all this they have been blatantly abandoned by the Russian Federation by its act of aggression. The tools, the UN, of course, they do exist. But at this moment, the European Union has to show that it is resolutely united and it stands in solidarity with the democratic and independent nation of Ukraine. And let's not forget that the threat is massive, not only against Ukrainian and its people, but about the European security. Because the move that we have seen, this aggression, has not been seen in European soil since 80 years ago in the World War II.
Ambassador Rokas, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning. That was the ambassador to the European Union, Ambassador of the European Union to Malaysia, His Excellency Michalis Rokas, giving us his take on what's happening in Ukraine at the moment.
But he did end on that time frame from 80 years ago. And lest we forget, history does have an uncomfortable habit of repeating itself. The last time Adolf Hitler, you know, raised arms against the Europeans, the Japanese also, in a parallel fashion, decided to take up territorial ambitions within the ASEAN region. I wonder where China sits in all this, because that hasn't really been a narrative that has really been countenanced so far.
I think there are just a lot of questions and obviously a lot of concern, because nobody wants to see a war. The fact that this conflict is breaking out in this manner, despite diplomatic efforts, it really puts a question into what kind of political will there is to actually prevent bloodshed. It's something we'll be following for sure. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.